Thank you, Father. We never take that for granted. Through Mashiach Yahushua, our Lord and Savior. Tonight we're going to be doing a teaching on Samuel. We did one in October. And this is really Samuel, Yahweh's power. And we get to understand difficult scriptures and how things appear. We're going to look at Samuel as a Nazarite, a judge, a priest, a prophet, a mediator. And Samuel is really pronounced Shemuel, Shemuel. Shemuel. His name is El, or his name is Mighty. So, he is quite a judge. So we're going to begin with 1 Samuel 13. We're going to look quite a bit of reading on this. We're going to start in the middle of the story. So some things that I didn't quite understand. And then we'll look at hindsight. Samuel 13, 1 through 15.
1 Samuel?
Yeah, 1 Samuel. All this will be in 1 Samuel. Saul was years old when he began to reign, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, so that's our perspective, 2 years, Saul chose him 3,000 men out of Israel, of whom there were with Saul 2,000 in Michmash and in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 with Jonathan in Gilbeth of Benjamin. But the rest of the people he let go, every man to his own house. Then Jonathan smite the garrison of Philistine that was in Gibeon, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the horn throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrew hear." Hebrew is really the word Ibri, so it has no H in it. And all Israel heard, saying, "Saul has smitten the garrison of the Philistines." Moreover, also Israel made themselves odious among the Philistines. So the people were calling together to follow Saul to Gilgal, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots. So we've got to look at, and a lot of times they don't know if that's even correct. That's a lot of chariots. But there's a lot of people, it comes down to, and 6,000 horsemen. A people like the sand that is on the seashore for multitudes. So what we got a picture is there's a lot of enemy. And they came up and camped in Michmash, east of Beth Avon. So the men of Israel saw they were in a strait. But the prophecy of tonight was you got to look from Yahweh's perspective and not from man's perspective.
Wow.
For the people had been harassed, and the people had hidden themselves in caves and in thickets and among cliffs and in holes and in pits. The Hebrews, or Ibris, had passed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilgad, but Saul was yet in Gilgad, and the people trembled after him. And he waited 7 days by the set time that Samuel had named. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. Now this is really, as I look at it, very precarious when you're surrounded, because we're going to find out he's just got 600 men. People are leaving. And you've got people as the sand of the sea on the other side to fight you. Then it says, in verse 9, then it says, "Saul, bring near unto me the ascending sacrifice and the peace offerings." And he offered up the ascending sacrifice, which only a priest is supposed to do. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of offering up the ascending sacrifice, lo, Samuel had come, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might bless him. Then said Samuel, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people had been scattered from me, and thou hast not come within the appointed day, and the Philistines had gathered themselves together to Michmash, therefore I said, now will the Philistines come down against me at Gilgad, but the face of Yahweh have I not appeased. So I forced myself and offered up the ascending sacrifice." And Samuel said unto Saul, Thou hast shown thyself foolish, thou hast not kept the commandment of Yahweh thy Elohim, which he commanded thee. For now would Yahweh have established thy kingdom unto Israel until times age abiding. Whereas now shall thy kingdom not be established. Yahweh hath sought out for him a man after his own heart, and Yahweh hath commanded him to be leader over his people, because he hath not kept that which Yahweh commanded thee. And Samuel arose and sent from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people who were found with him, about 600 men. So, in my understanding, I thought, well, this is Samuel's fault. You know, why wasn't Samuel there? You know, you're being surrounded by these people. And the other question is, why didn't the people just attack? If you only have 600 men, or even then, you had originally 3,000. But you've got people as the sand of the sea. Why would the Philistines just attack? Let's just quit messing around with these guys and just mow them down. So these are questions that you have to ponder, and you have to say, why is that? Now we go to verse 19. You know, make of things worth. Now a smith could not be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines had said, lest the Hebrews make sword or spears. So all Israel went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, and his mattock, and his axe, and his sickle. Howbeit they had a file for the sickles and the mattock, and the three-pronged forks and the axes, and for setting the goads. Just like trying to disarm people from guns. Same situation.
Gun control.
Thus would it come to pass in the day of battle that there was found neither sword nor spear in the hand of any of the people. Now think of that. Even your 600 people, they don't have metal implements. In the hands of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but such were found belonging to Saul and to Jonathan his son. The only two. So what do you have? Wooden
pitchforks?
Pitchforks or sticks.
Ox goads.
Yeah. Now they get, you know, mm-hmm. So you're looking at that too, and I'm like, boy, this isn't fair for Samuel at all to be able to do this. But then we have to go, okay, I'm going to go now back to see what we need to know ahead of time. This is Yahweh's strength and not Israel's strength, which Samuel, as a judge, is going to show you. So we go back to 1 Samuel 7. Excuse me. Two through 13. Somebody read that.
And so it was that from the day the ark came to dwell in Kiriath-Jearim, the days multiplied and became 20 years, that all the house of Israel went mourning after Yahweh.
Well, let me stop. We can't go through all this, but this is where you had Hophni and Phinehas and Eli. The ark was taken. The people were in sin. And as we realize, Samuel's just in the background now for 20 years. So Samuel is in the background. He's the priest, the judge, the prophet. And now he's going to come back. The people are going to repent and bring him back in. So now we go to verse 3.
Somebody else read it.
And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if with all your heart you are returning unto Yahweh, then put away the Elohims of the foreigner out of your midst, and the Ashtoreths, and firmly set your heart towards Yahweh, and serve him alone, that he may deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the sons of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths, and served Yahweh alone. And Samuel said, gather all Israel unto Mizpah, that I may pray for you unto Yahweh. So they gathered themselves in the Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before Yahweh, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against Yahweh. And Samuel judged the sons of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the sons of Israel had gathered themselves together unto Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the sons of Israel heard it, they shrank with fear from the face of the Philistines. And the sons of Israel said to Samuel, Do not turn in silence from us, from making outcry unto Yahweh our Elohim, that he would save us out of the hand of the Philistines.
And you're going to watch what happens. So this is very important, because these guys are being surrounded. Go ahead.
So Samuel took one suckling lamb and offered it up as an entire ascending sacrifice unto Yahweh. Samuel made outcry to Yahweh for Israel, and Yahweh answered him. And when Samuel was offering up the ascending sacrifices, the Philistines drew near to fight against Israel. But Yahweh thundered with a great noise throughout the day over the Philistines and confused them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went forth out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them as far as under Bethkar. And Samuel took a certain stone and set it between Mizpah and Yeshnah, and called the name therefore Ebenezer, and said, Hereunto hath Yahweh helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and no more came within the boundaries of Israel. And the hand of Yahweh was against the Philistines all the day of Samuel.
So you look at that. So this is, you're like, okay, well, this is how the battles were fought. They were fought by Yahweh. And men were secondary as long as they did that. So if Saul knows this, then however you're surrounded, it doesn't make any difference. If Yahweh is your fighter. This is also explain why the Philistines are not attacking Israel in the other chapter. Even though there's like 600 against the sand of the sea, is because Yahweh's their God. Last time we did this, Yahweh fought for them. Mm-hmm. And so it really makes you very hesitant to go against somebody who has a really big brother who's hiding in the bush.
Yeah.
Or a pit bull.
Or family members. Now we go to 14 to 15. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel.
Verse 14?
Yeah, just okay. Verse 14. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even as far as Gath. Even the boundaries thereof did Israel rescue out of the hand of the Philistines. Thus came to be peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. So he is a judge. But you can see that it says Yahweh kicked the butt of the Philistines. So we've got to keep that in mind even in our own lives. When it looks like we're outnumbered,
yeah.
You can't look that way. What we've got to do is we've got to find people who arise and walk in the power of Yahweh with holy Ruach. And obviously Samuel did that. And obviously they knew also about coming out of Egypt, the whole history of what Yahweh did for them. But obviously at different times they forget and they attack. So we go to 8, 1 through 7, and this is also Samuel as the judge, and it's also showing you that Yahweh is our protector, not a king, not a particular judge, but Yahweh is our protector. He operates through the judges. And supposedly Samuel is about 60 years old at this time, and it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he appointed his sons judges to Israel. And the name of the firstborn son was Yoel, and the name of the second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Howbeit, his sons walked not in his ways, but stooped to extortion and took bribes and perverted judgments. I never see Samuel reproving them on this. You know, we saw with Eli approving Hophni and Phinehas, but for some reason we never see Samuel doing that.
Interesting.
Excuse me. When all the elders of the Israel gathered themselves together and came unto Samuel to Ramah and said unto him, Lo, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like the nations. That's what the king was for, and that's what Samuel was actually doing. Now we're going to go back to Yahweh through Samuel defeats the Philistines. So we go back to chapter 12. One and two, give you our context. Now Samuel said unto all of Israel, Lo, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that you have said to me, and have set over you a king. Now therefore, Now, therefore, lo, the king going to and fro before you, but I am old and gray-headed, and my sons, lo, they are with you. But I have gone to and fro before you, my mouth unto this day. It's a context. Now we go to 6, verse to 11. Long, you want to read 6 to 11?
Mm-hmm. And Samuel said unto the people, witnesses Yahweh, who wrought with Moses and with Aaron, and who brought up your fathers out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore take your stand, and let me plead with you before Yahweh, and tell you all the righteous acts of Yahweh, which he wrought for you and with your fathers. How that when Jacob had come into Egypt, and your fathers had made outcry unto Yahweh, then Yahweh sent Moses and Aaron, and they brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and he caused them to dwell in this place. And when they forgot Yahweh their Elohim, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, prince of the host of Jabin, king of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. But they made outcry unto Yahweh and said, we have sinned, and in that we have forsaken Yahweh and served the Baals and Asherahs. Now therefore deliver us out of the land of our enemies, that we may serve thee. Then Yahweh sent Yerubbaal and Bedan and Japheth and Shemuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety.
So we're looking at individuals as judges coming in representing Yahweh's power and delivering people, not by a single individual, but Yahweh's bringing power into people's lives. 15:24. Now you're looking at the power, he's saying. You know, this is interesting. 15, same chapter. But if you hearken not unto the voice of Yahweh, but rebel against the bidding or mouth of Yahweh, then will the hand of Yahweh continue to be against you and against your fathers. Even now, stand still and see this great thing which Yahweh is about to do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will cry unto Yahweh that he may give forth thunderings and rain. Know you then and see that your wrong is great, which you have done in the sight of Yahweh, and asking for yourself a king. So Samuel cried unto Yahweh, and Yahweh gave forth thunderings and rain on that day, and all the people greatly feared Yahweh and Samuel. But you're always saying it's Yahweh, 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 using instruments. Samuel was just an instrument. But you can see the power that Samuel was representing. And everybody knew that. Now we go back to the story of Saul, not ready to fight.
13.
Wait a minute here. Yeah, 14:1. Let's see here. So remember, you had the sands of the sea there. Saul makes a sacrifice because Samuel was late, so it must have been, it was a testing from Yahweh to see what Saul was going to do. And the only thing I can think of.
But if his father had foreknowledge, I mean, he already knew what he was going to do.
No, we have that. You know, so we... And looking at that aspect, if that was true, then he would have never chosen Saul as king. Because he knows how Saul is going to change to actually want to kill Samuel.
And kill his priests.
Yeah, kill his... I mean, so you're looking at... There are things that, you know, how it works, I don't know, but otherwise, none of this stuff would happen. Now you're looking at, so here's all the men, like the sands of the sea, and then here you got 600 men over here. But Jonathan's going to do something. So Jonathan...
How did you know there's only 600?
Well, they said that.
Okay.
And where is that? We just read.
That's okay. That's all right.
and everybody else scattered. So you had 3,000, and it looked like everybody just scattered for fear, because they're not looking at Yahweh. And I guess if Samuel was there and Saul's got to represent Yahweh, and we've got to represent Yahweh in that same situation, where we can call and call on the power of Yahweh through Ruach HaKodesh and deliver us and the people around us. Give you a little context. So here they are on each side. It came about on a certain day that Jonathan, son of Saul, said unto the young man bearing his armor, "Come, let us pass over unto the garrison of the Philistines that is on the other side yonder." But to his father he told him not. He's taken action. So one thing we've got to realize is we've got to act. And so Samuel acted, Gideon acted, Jephthah acted. You know, you've got to act into the supernatural. So Jonathan's going to go fight. 13. So they went up. Great story. So Jonathan went up on his hands and his feet, and his armor bearer followed him. They fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer were slain after him. And the first smiting wherewith Jonathan and his armor bearer smote was about 20 men, within as it were half a furlong length of a yoke of lamb. Look what happens now. And it came to be a trembling in the camp, in the field, among all the people, the outposts and the spoilers. So here's the Philistines are saying, oh no, here it goes again. Their God is fighting for them. They too trembled, and the earth quaked, so it became a preternatural trembling, which is the word Elohim. If you go down, a trembling of Elohim, go down the
footnote
of B, a trembling of Elohim. That sends a signal to the Philistines, you're not fighting Jonathan. One guy came up here and just killed 20 of your guys, one by one. That's supernatural. And now when the earth starts shaking, you've got our attention. So Yahweh's back into action. Let's see here. Now watch what happens in verse 20. Because that rallies Saul now, what Jonathan has done. And Saul and all the people that were with him gathered themselves together and came as far as the host. And lo, a sword of every man was against his fellow. So it looked like the Philistines were killing each other. So Yahweh can do that too. An exceedingly great confusion. So you got thunderings, or you got earthquakes, and you got people killing each other. And the Hebrews, or Ebrees, who had before belonged to the Philistines, who had come up with them in the host, even they turned around so as to be with Israel, who were with Saul and Jonathan. They switched sides. And all the men of Israel who had hidden themselves throughout the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines had fled, and they also followed hard after them in the battle. So think of this, you've got 600 men and maybe 3,000 against the sand of the seas. And did Yahweh on that day save Israel, and the battle passed over by Beth-Aven. So that's what happened after even Saul made a sacrifice that he shouldn't have. But Yahweh came through Jonathan to bring deliverance.
Wow.
Now, 25 years later, remember that was within the first situation, 3 years. 25 years later is chapter 15, verse 1. And what we know that is King Saul reigned for 40 years. When he died, David took over, who was 30 years old at that time. So if he's 30 years old at that time, then let's say he was made anointed king at age 15. So he would be, so Saul would be 25 years reigning. So the spirit left Saul after David was anointed king. So actually Saul started reigning 10 years before David was even born. So, you know, things look like they go very quickly. But you have to say, Saul actually did maybe a righteous reign for 25 years out of the 40. And that's where he goes into Amalek. You're supposed to wipe out Amalek. And this, it does his undoing. And that starts in chapter 15, verse 1. And 34 and 35. And Samuel departed unto Ramah, but Saul went up unto his own house at Gibeth of Saul, and Samuel did no more see Saul until the day of his death. For Samuel pined for Saul, but Yahweh was grieved that he had made Saul king over Israel. When you have somebody, a prophet, quit talking to you, you're in big trouble. So with all of us, if Yahweh quits sending messengers, silence does not mean, hey, I won.
Yeah.
No, it actually means you lost. You actually lost because we know how Saul ends. And we go to 16, verse 13. We see David being anointed. And he really, if you think about David doing things supernatural, he's really a Gideon, a Japheth, a Samson. You're still doing, you killed a bear and a lion. Samson killed things, supernatural abilities. So he's really the I don't know if that would be called the ensign of Yahweh.
The what?
Ensign that people can rally around. So in verse 13 and 16, and Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of Yahweh came mightily upon David from that day forward.
And mightily.
Yeah, it came mightily upon David. Then arose Samuel and went his way unto Ramoth. But the Spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and there terrified him an evil spirit. It's not a sad spirit, an evil spirit from Yahweh. So things really go bad. Saul actually wants to kill Samuel, which is Yahweh's, which is really Yahweh. And then he wants to kill David, which is really representing Yahweh. And that's what can happen to people who are being anointed. Now we go to power. Yeah, this is a great powerful thing with Samuel in verse chapter 19. So Saul is going after David now and wants to kill David and Samuel if he has to. So they send people out to him, to Ramoth. You know, God, you know, you know, it could be Samuel is 90 years old or 85 years old. You know, enough of this stuff. And so, you know, verse 20, 19, 20. So Saul sent messengers to take David. When they saw the assembly of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing his head over them. Now think of these. So here's soldiers that come up against these old men. And look what happens. Then came the spirit of Elohim upon the messengers of Yahweh, and they also, Saul, and they also were moved to prophesy. And when they told Saul, and he sent other messengers, then were they also moved to prophesy. And when Saul again sent messengers a third time, then were they also moved to prophesy. It's like a whole barrier right here. It's just like, you can't penetrate this. And that is Samuel from age probably 5 years old to probably 85, 90 years old. Then went he also himself to Ramoth, Saul, and came as far as the well, the threshing floor, which is in Sephet, and asked him, where are Samuel and David? And one said, lo, in Naoth and Ramah. And when he departed from thence towards Naoth and Ramah, there came upon him also the spirit of Elohim. And he went on and on and was moved to prophesy until he entered Naoth and Ramah. And even he stripped off his outer garments, and even he was moved to prophesy before Samuel, and laid prostrate disrobed all the day and all the night. For this cause, they say, is even Saul among the prophets? So you're looking at coming after Samuel is not going to help you. And the power as a prophet he was. So in chapter 25, verse 1, Samuel dies. But if you want to look at him as being a Nazarite,
35 what?
We don't have to go there, but that's when he dies. But as a Nazarite, that's 1 Samuel 1:11, as mother says, I will not cut his hair if you give me a child. Mm-hmm. And the Nazarite, they're not supposed to drink anything with grapes.
Anything with the vine.
Yeah, anything of the vine, not have your hair cut. There's a vow.
He's and that's Numbers, long dreadlocks.
Numbers 6, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. So the moral of the story...
Don't mess with it now.
Yeah, there's the Spirit of Yahweh is upon all of us. And so instead of being like Saul and looking at the adversity in front of us, we've got to look at Yahweh on our side. And that's how Samuel would do it. So Samuel prayed, and thunderings came about and everything else. Jonathan went up, his actions. There's always actions needed. Saul attacked, and he had attacked the Philistines. And David attacked and attacked the Philistines. You can't wait for something to happen. You have to go into motion. And so we'll end right there.
And that's what Peter took action.
Yeah, it's all...
Well, Peter walked on the water. Yeah, because he took action. Yeah. When he was called, he went.
And he went into Jerusalem.
And he did
spoke the word.
Too.
You know, he reproved people. He did all sorts of... Action is where power comes from. Inaction, unless Yahweh tells you not to do something.
So Saul should have not acted. He should have waited.
Yeah, he should have waited.
So he did act, but he didn't act.
Well, no, but later on he acted and wiped out the Philistines. And it says he subdued the Philistines for a great period of time. And they took back Gaza and all the other places. And so they had peace for probably 25 years. And that's because Saul acted after Jonathan. So Jonathan they were quaking before Jonathan did this. Jonathan did that, the earth quaked, it was a sign from Yahweh, everybody else came out. And so it's because of Jonathan's action, but obviously Saul and the men got inspired by seeing what happened with Jonathan, and they went on the rampage, and the Philistines got fearful and fled and killed themselves. All of a sudden you're seeing everybody over there kill themselves. So those are the lessons. So we'll go ahead and end, and we'll have a prophecy for individuals. Father, we thank you for these words. For anybody else who is listening or watching, through Christ our Lord, amen. Rise up and take on my armor, which I have given to you in Ephesians 6. My armor you have to put on. If you do not put it on, you will be weak and powerless. Putting on my armor will set you on high, as David was set on high, Samuel was set on high. You have the Ruach HaKodesh abiding within you. Exercise that, meditate upon it, envision it in operation, and you shall set the captives free. Amen. See you next week.